Lord, I praise you. 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 You're my healer. 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 Hallelujah.
Just lift your hands and sing that out. Hallelujah. 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 Say, Lord, I love you. 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 Lord, I love you.
Just begin to tell the Lord you love him. Speak your praises out. Sing it out. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just praise him. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are God. We thank you for your great love and mercy and kindness and faithfulness to all of us today. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you for saving us and setting us free. Thank you for prospering us, O God. We give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you for the blood of Jesus today that cleanses us, that washes us, that renews us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and fire that fills us and refreshes us. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a loving heavenly Father, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you that you are love, Lord. You are love. You are love, and we receive it all today. Somebody say, Father God, I receive your love for me. In Jesus' name. Just like the sun is shining this morning without a cloud in the sky, that's the way it is in the spirit to all of us all the time because of the power of the blood of Jesus and your faith in God today. It's breakthrough time. Somebody say, it's breakthrough time.
Breakthrough time.
It's breakthrough time spiritually.
Jesus.
It's breakthrough time emotionally. It's breakthrough time physically. It's breakthrough time financially.
Thank you, Jesus.
In every area of our lives. Thank you, Father, that you are Jehovah Tsidkenu, God of our righteousness today, Jehovah Emkadesh today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah Nissi, our victory and protection. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. Jehovah Perazim, that's the one I was looking for, our breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
It's breakthrough time in every area of our lives. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just praise Him for your breakthrough.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank You.
Praise You.
I thank You for my breakthrough today. Praise Jesus. Think of something specific.
We thank You, Father.
One, two, or three specific things that you're believing for a breakthrough, and thank Him for that breakthrough. Not just a general breakthrough, a specific breakthrough today. I thank You, Father, that You are a debt-canceling God. I thank You that You're the God of houses and churches and properties and congregations and health and wholeness and wealth. We praise You for it all, God. Thank You that You are the God who calls a nation to repentance, breakthrough in our nation, breakthrough in the Northwest, throughout the West Coast, California, Washington, Oregon. We declare spiritual breakthrough. We bind the spirit of darkness and deception and drugs and perversions and lies and corruption. And we release the spirit of truth, the spirit of life, the spirit of Jesus to be manifested in our country today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of COVID. We break its power in the name of Jesus. And we bind oppressive spiritual government in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, Father, that You are the God of the breakthrough today. The God of the breakthrough today. The God of my breakthrough. Somebody say, He's the God of my breakthrough today. We thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated this morning. Somebody just say, thank You, Jesus, for breaking us through today. Amen. I'll turn it over to Pastor Shelley.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Acts 5. We're continuing on with the power of a door. We've had some exciting things that we've been seeing where doors are concerned, and that's going to continue on today. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17. And right before this, Peter had been going around, and everywhere Peter's shadow fell on people, they were being healed, people were being set free, they were being, sick people were made well. It was like, it was a powerful time right before this verse. And then it says in verse 17 that the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, and they were filled with indignation. Another word for that is jealousy. And for all the kids in my kids' class, what color do we normally associate with jealousy? Can someone tell me? Green. Green, because we want what someone else has. Does jealousy ever end up in something good? No, it never ends up in something good. So they were filled with jealousy, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So they took them, Peter was with them, they took them from the public area and they put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. But the high priest and those who came with and those with him called the council together and all the elders and the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. So where were they when they got arrested first place? They were in the temple, right? They were healing people. They were setting people free, preaching the gospel. They have them arrested. They put them in prison. They get let out by an angel in the middle of the night, and he tells them, go back to where you were and keep doing what you were doing, okay? And in verse 22, but when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned in reporting, saying, indeed, we found the prison, what does it say? Shut. The prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. So this was a miracle. Say a miracle. And sometimes in our finances, it can look like this. It can look like it is a shut door and it's so heavily guarded by the enemy, there is no way out. Okay? In the natural, it can look like that. But I'm here to tell you today, we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. And sometimes a locked door displays the glory of God. I heard a testimony last night. I was listening to the Branson victory campaign that they were having last night. And they were sharing, Kenneth Copeland was sharing a story about a farmer who was out plowing, and he was listening to tapes in his tractor, and he heard about being debt-free and owning your own land. And they had a pretty sizable-sized property, and so he stopped the tractor and ran all the way home and told his wife, "We're going to be debt-free. This land is going to be paid for." And she said, okay, let's believe for that. In the natural, they said they really didn't even know how much they still owed. That's how much they owed. It just, you know, pay the bill, don't even think about it, right? But the farmer had gotten a revelation in the middle of the field, just like the prisoners inside had gotten a revelation from the angel of the Lord that night. So his wife calls the bank and says, "We want to pay off our loan. Can you tell me how much it is exactly?" And they said, "Well, we'll have to get back to you in a couple days." Well, days went by and weeks went by, and finally she called back and she said, "I really would like to know what we owe, because we really want to pay this off and we're going to have to work at it." And the person on the phone said, "I'm going to have to get my supervisor for you just a minute." She was like, "What is it, that big that they can't add up all the numbers, or what's going on?" And so the supervisor comes on and him hawing around and not answering. And she's like, I just need you to tell me, what is the amount that we owe you?" And he said, "Ma'am, we've kind of come across a problem." And she's like, "Oh, okay, what's the problem? Is it too much that you can't add it? You know, what's going on?" And he said this, "Ma'am, we don't show any record of you ever taking out a loan on your property." She said, "So you mean to tell me I don't owe you anything for my property?" He said, "No, ma'am, that property is yours free and clear." Just like that. A closed door with guards out front. The angel of the Lord shows up and gets them out, but the door is still closed, right? Sometimes in the natural, things don't look like they're changing. Or sometimes in the natural, even though it looks like it's a closed door and there's no possible way, God will make a way where there is no way. We've seen this in the health of people, even in my own family. My sister's a great example. She just celebrated her birthday on Friday, and we were talking about what the doctor said this last year. According to her diagnosis and what all of her vital signs show, okay, so the door is closed and there's guards out front. He said she should be able to take 3 steps and then need to have oxygen. I don't know if any of you have noticed around here. She takes a lot of steps from the car to in here, and there's no oxygen. Closed door, guards out front. We don't know what happened, but there's no people inside that room, right? Sometimes in the natural, you can't explain what God is doing other than it's a miracle. And sometimes that closed door is used to explain and display the glory of God in your life to the people around you. How awesome for that farmer to go back to all his neighbors and say, "Guess what? I'm debt-free. I own my land. Free and clear. How did you do that? It was a miracle. There was an angel of the Lord that moved on my behalf." Amen? And so we don't want to ever look at closed doors and guards and things that look impossible in the natural eye, because God doesn't work in that realm with his kids. He's able to open up doors that we didn't think could ever be opened to get us out. And what does he say? Go back and keep preaching the word. See, that's our part, is we need to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel and to keep sharing the gospel. So even if the enemy comes and tries to bind up our finances, the angel of the Lord can walk you right through it, doesn't matter what it looks like, and our job is to go back out there and to keep preaching the good news. Amen? I don't know about you, but this got me excited, because sometimes in the natural, things can look overwhelming. I've shared this a lot of times, but about 10 years ago, we had a double mortgage. And in literally less than a week's time, that second mortgage was just wiped out. Gone. In the natural, doors closed, heavily guarded, no way out. And then gone. Amen? So God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He is no respecter of persons. If he can do it for the farmer, he can do it for you. If he can do it for us, he can do it for you. If he can do it for Peter and the apostles, he can do it for you. Say, he's going to do it for me. And it'll be a miracle, and we're going to testify. Amen? So we need to start, like Pastor Steve was saying, our breakthrough. It's not a coincidence. I planned this a week ago because we were on vacation, so he didn't have any idea what I was going to speak today. And he's talking about God of your breakthrough. You should be sitting there going, yep, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's mine, I'm taking that. Don't let this word that's coming forth just go right past you. Oh, that was pretty words. That was nice. But, you know, I got a mortgage. You know what? God can take care of your mortgage. If he can take care of a farmer's whole farm, your house, no big deal. Amen? So we need to start thinking in those realms so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. Imagine if your mortgage payment was what you gave to missions every week or every month. Just stop and think about that for a minute. Just think about if all the money that you have that you're putting into your mortgage could be put into the gospel. Wow. We could be doing some, I mean, our building, as we could go out and buy land in a building, because if that's the kind of money we had coming in every month, could you imagine? We'd be able to build our building and then be a blessing to the city, and who knows where it would end. So we have to stop thinking about the doors and the guards and the impossibility. We got to start remembering our God is able to break through the doors, go past the guards, and walk you right out. And they won't even know what happened. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you for another example of the power of a door. And I pray, Father, that every time we see doors, even when we go to unlock our front door, that we'd be reminded that angels don't use keys. They just open doors by the authority of God. And we just thank you, Father, that you are opening the doors of our finances, things that have held us for years. You are breaking us through, Father, but we are also going to have a breakthrough in our minds and in our patterns and in our thoughts so that we don't put ourselves back into those prisons. Father, we're going to have the wisdom to know what to do with the finances when they come in. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for the breakthrough in our finances today. Supernatural breakthrough. Father, I'm believing for every person in this room to own their homes debt-free. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for that today. We praise you for that today. We thank you for the homes, yes, Lord, for the places that people are supposed to be. There's some of us that are in homes we're not supposed to be in because we're supposed to be in different homes so that we can open our homes and have people come in and preach the gospel. So wherever we need to be, Father, I just speak in Jesus' name, send forth your angels to line things up so that each one of us in this room, we are in the house that God, you have for us. It will be a wealth that has no sorrow. It will be debt-free so that we can be blessed, so that we can have people come into our homes and share the gospel, so that we can be a blessing to our families and our friends and for those who are lost. Father, I just thank you for literally beacons of light, that you are strategically placing us in the right places, in the right homes. And Father, we just call this done in Jesus' name. We thank you and we praise you for it, Father. It's not going to be a far off, down. No, suddenly people are going to begin moving. They're going to begin strategically being where they're supposed to be. So, Father, in these last days, we can continue to bring in the harvest that you have for us. And we praise you once again that it will be a wealth with no sorrow, no debt, that it will be a testimony, that we'll be able to go back out where we were before and share the good news that we have a God who can set us free financially. And we just praise you and we thank you. Anoint every seed that's sown this morning, Father. A hundredfold harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands toward the giving nets. Let's make a statement of faith to say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God in my finances today. I receive supernatural increase, the favor of God, debt cancellation, raises, bonuses in every area of my life, supernatural breakthrough in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Great word, Pastor Shelley. Grab my little clicker here for a second. And I think we can dismiss the kids. Praise God, where children's ministry is back. It never really left, but we had to keep you inside for a while. But now you are free to roam about the building. Amen. Praise God. Have a great class, kids. You're in good hands with Jesus and Pastor Shelley. Amen and amen. Let's pray over this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence and your power today. We receive your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. Well, I want to introduce you to our next thing. Amen. And you might remember back at Vision Day, actually it was Vision Month, back in January, but one of the things that the Lord has us focusing on this year, it's twofold, really. Let me just rediscover it here. Our theme for 2021 is God's great mercy. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Amen? And fighting the good fight of faith. Psalm 32:10 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Somebody say, I'll take that. In 2021, I'll take me plenty of that. Amen? And then 1 Timothy 6:12 says this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Somebody say, fight the good fight of faith. Jesus is the champion. Somebody say, Jesus has won the fight. Oh, come on now. You can speak it out a little more. I don't think in any boxing match people are really quiet, right? Somebody say, Jesus has won the fight. For me. Amen. He has. He is the champion, isn't he? And yet there's scriptures that say this. Fight the good fight. Well, I thought the fight was already won. It is. But the Bible tells us there's still a fight. Somebody say there's still a fight. There's still a fight. And it's called the fight of faith. Amen? The fight of faith. I got several key definitions to look at today, and just, you know, we're going to kind of geek out on the scripture for a little bit, and then in the next few weeks, we're going to get into some specific things, right? But first of all, the word fight in the concordance means things like a place of assembly. If you go to the Vegas where they have the boxing arena, right? Church, somebody say, church is a place of assembly, right? Church is where we come to train. Church maybe would be like the gym, amen, where we come to train and get strong in our faith. Why? So we can win the fight of faith. I don't think any boxer in the history of the world has gone into the ring expecting to lose, unless it was a fixed fight and he knew he was going to flop or something, right? But in general, you're going in there expecting to win, amen? So fight means things like a place of assembly, as if led, it says, a contest held there, amen. Somebody say, welcome to planet Earth. Planet Earth is where all the marbles are. This brief little period of time, if we live 120 years, Somebody say, all the marbles are here for eternity. Amen? And I'm talking in bigger picture. I mean, there's not a bigger picture than eternal life, right? But there is something called rewards. Amen? Eternal reward. Eternal life, everybody gets. Eternal reward is different between people. Because some folk get born again and then they just quit. They think that that's all there was. And they just struggle through life and failure and sin and whatever they're doing. And praise God, they get to heaven. But the truth is, somebody say, the truth is, there is a reward, a crown, for us to be competing for, not against one another. I'm not talking about against one another. Amen? But there is a reward for us to be standing for and fighting for and holding fast to the Word of God for, because there is a contest, there is an effort. Amen? Somebody say, faith takes effort. Faith requires effort. It requires effort to stand in the face of sin and unbelief and symptoms and whatever the world is pushing 24/7. It takes effort to get up and open my Bible, right? It takes effort to turn off the noise. Any boxer out there training, I love the Rocky movies because he gets so into the training. I mean, you think Rocky, I think, is more excited about the gym than the event itself, right? He is pushing himself. He is pressing, pushing, getting ready for the fight. Those old Rocky songs, right? Amen? Praise God. It means an effort. It means why? Because there is a conflict. Again, the devil wants to turn the conflict between us. Now, that ain't where the fight is. I love how Keith Moore says, the Bible says fight the fight of faith. It doesn't say fight faith. And there's a lot of believers out there that are fighting faith. Oh, that faith stuff doesn't work. Oh, God might put disease on you. No. God doesn't put disease on me to teach me something. Ah, God might rather you be poor than No. Somebody say no. So don't fight faith. Fight the fight of faith. Amen. It means contention. Again, the devil would want to put contention between believers. The devil comes to church. Even in Jesus' 12, there was a devil. There was one, a person of contention, even in his own group. I'm not saying we look at each other suspiciously, right? I'm just saying we rebuke contention with each other, and we remember who the real enemy is. Even in the world today, I'm not a contentious against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Nancy Pelosi or Kate Brown or Inslee. No. We know who the enemy is. I started listening to a YouTube, believe it or not, I can't believe it. I always take my Bible with me when I go out of town, but I was in a rush. On Thursday, we went out to the coast for the weekend, had a great, restful time, got a cool new outfit, amen. Got a golf sweatshirt in honor of the Masters. It's happening right now, and I'm wearing it in honor of the Master, who is Jesus, right? Praise God, and they are competing for a prize out there today at the Masters, right? But this effort that we're in, this contention, this race, this struggle, right? We need to keep our eyes focused on the Word of God, despite everything else, all the noise that's out there. Amen? There's a race going on. There's a fight going on. And we are fighting the fight of faith. We're not fighting faith. It's important to clarify that. Somebody say, I'm fighting the fight of faith. I'm not fighting faith. Amen. There's a race. There's a struggle. He even uses words like agony. There's times in the Rocky movies where you can tell he is in agony, pushing himself. Amen. And so the point is fighting the fight of faith means there's going to be effort involved. It's not always going to be super comfortable. Amen. And again, back to our leaders, you know, they're not my enemy. The devil is our enemy. And I was going into the YouTube book. I pulled up Kenneth E. Hagin, and I was scrolling through. But I found a book by E.W. Kenyon called The Name of Jesus. And I just clicked, and this is somebody reading the book. And he gets into some great stuff about the power of the name of Jesus Christ and breaking demonic powers, right? Using the name of Jesus against the devil. Amen. He shared a couple stories about people that come to his meetings back in the day, obviously, who said, you know what, Brother Kenyon, I just can't believe what you're saying. I can't get into the spirit of this. And he laid his hand on their shoulder. He said, in the name of Jesus, I break that spirit off you that is restraining you from believing, and instantly they would be set free. Amen? Somebody say, it's a fight. Not against each other, against the devil. Because even though he's been defeated, he's still trying to take over, if you haven't noticed. I love, Brother Hagin said something so great the other day on the, obviously he's in heaven too, so I was watching something from years ago. But one thing that's always bugged me is Satan is called the God of this world, right? And yet he's been defeated, so why is he called the God of this world? And Brother Hagin said, because the world thinks he's God still. It's like, so our job, our business is to remind the devil of his defeat. Amen? Continually remind him that he is going out. He's on his way out, right? And Jesus is on his way in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when it says fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, that word hold means to seize. Amen? To seize for help, attainment, or any other purpose. Seize does not sound like a passive word, does it? We're seizing the promises of God. Hallelujah. We're seizing God's word. We're seizing the gospel for our region and our families, and we're seizing our healings. Amen. We're seizing God's prosperity, seizing the promises of God for ourselves. Amen? Because guess what? No one's going to seize it for me. I've got to seize it for me. So I seize it so I can seize it. Get somebody say, I seize it. That's not probably proper English, but you understand, right? I seize it with my eyes so I can seize it with my faith. Amen? That's why we guard what we hear, what we see. Amen? So we can seize the promises of God for our lives, for our help, for our attainment, for any other purpose. Praise the Lord. To catch. Amen? The kids and I played football on the beach the other day. I was the permanent quarterback, so I didn't have to run. And I was throwing the football, and there were some great catches that the kids made, every one of them. Amen? And Jesus is a great quarterback, and he's throwing you the word, throwing you the word, throwing you the word, throwing you the promises. And I've seen some funny videos, you know, in the past of receivers that the ball hits them in the helmet and bounces off their chest. And it was right there, but somebody say, I have to catch it. Amen? So we catch it. We catch God's words. Brother Copeland, he used to talk to his kids when they were little about their ears and called them catchers. Get your catchers on. I'm about to tell you something you need to hear. Jesus would say, he who has ears, or she who has ears, let them hear. Amen? We can't believe for something we've never heard of. That's why you come to church. That's why we listen to anointed preaching and teaching, right? We don't listen to a bunch of unbelief, right? Amen. Somebody say it. My ears are open to God. Amen. And it means the word take. When it says lay hold, that means to take it. take it by force. This morning I read in my daily Bible reading about the story of Jericho. Jericho was not going to turn itself over to the children of Israel, right? The children of Israel had to take the city. Amen? And so they did, by faith in God and the way God showed them. Hallelujah. Somebody say they took it. And these stories in the Bible are there to remind us your healing, your breakthrough, salvation of your friends and family, breakthrough in our country, financial breakthrough, whatever it is, God's plan and purposes for your kids, your grandchildren. Somebody say, I have to take it. Take it in prayer. Take it. Find the promises in God's word and take it. Hallelujah. And when it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called. Somebody say, I'm called. The word called means to bid, to call forth, whose name was called. Jesus is calling your name today. He's calling you out. He's calling you his son, his daughter, the father. You know, he's calling you his kid. He's calling you a believer. Amen. And we, like God, begin to use our words to call in things that we want, and we rebuke things that we don't want. We call in the things that we're believing God for in our lives, and we rebuke in the name of Jesus things we don't want in our lives. And this is why our enemy, the adversary, the devil, is so tricky, because he'll persuade people to believe that things that are on the curse list, just read Deuteronomy 28, and you'll see a good list of the blessing, the curse of the blessing. He'll get good Christian people to believe that things that are on the curse, things we've been redeemed from, are actually a, quote, blessing in disguise. Who's ever heard that term, blessing in disguise? Well, no, it's actually the devil in disguise, is what it is, right? So we see, if something's on the curse list, I should rebuke that from my life. And then claim the opposite of it. I rebuke debt. I rebuke poverty. Shelly and I were talking the other day, and I was like, honey, you know what? We're crossing into our 50s soon. We're all still young in this room, amen? Glory to God. But I was like, you know what? We're not going to go any further into debt. We're coming out. And we have been, right? But it's like, no, no, no. I'm pressing into the plus column. In my life, right? And if that means temporarily I don't have, you know, the King Ranch, big truck, the 2022 model, whatever, right? Amen? In the church, we're operating the same way, right? We can go out there and buy something and just begin making payments on it and pressure ourselves, but that ain't faith, church. Amen? We've been meeting in places like this for the past 9 years. And it's only been 4 places, I think, that we've met. But we are doing this because we are staying in the plus column. So we can give more. So we can sow more. And yet, we're believing for a place of our own. Amen. Trusting God for his provisions for our lives. Amen. So, but it's a choice. And we're pressing. Amen. We're resisting the temptation to go and get into debt. Well, Pastor Steve, why don't you just go out there and get that place here? Just go 600 grand into debt. After all, it's going to be worth 10 more thousand by the... Oh, really? Really? Are you sure? Just what I want to leave for my children when I pass on at 120 years old, if Jesus doesn't return by then. You know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt. That's what I, somebody say, no, no. Glory to God forevermore. We have a God of great abundance and peace. That's what I'm looking for, is peace. This outfit that I'm wearing today is a reminder to me that he is a God of rest, because I rested this weekend and I found some new clothes and I was resting. And entering into his rest is a fight. Amen? Fighting the urge to worry. Fighting the urge to stress out. Amen? It's a fight. Somebody say it's a fight of faith. But it's a good fight. The Bible calls the fight of faith a good fight. Somebody say glory to God. And it means the word confess, when it says confessing the good confession. Somebody say confess the good confession. So if there are good confessions, then there also must be bad confessions. One of my kids, Lindsay, found a shirt the other day at the store, and it was just this stick figure saying, "This is not a good sign." And it was pointing at a sign that said, "Bad." "This is not a good sign." And the sign says, "Bad." Just a silly joke, you know? So why confess bad things? If confession brings possession, then I should watch what I'm confessing. Amen? Now, the world will mock that. A lot of Christians, "Well, I don't matter what I say." Yes, it does. It does matter what I say. "I'm so sick and tired. Oh, I'm so old. Oh, I'm so broke. I'm on a fixed income. My grandfather died in the 60s. I'll probably die in my 50s. Somebody say, rebuke yourself. Stop saying those words. "I'll never get ahead." Somebody say, no. We use our words to confess what we're believing for in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call me debt free. In the name of Jesus, I own my home and my vehicles outright. In the name of Jesus, stuff just lasts and lasts and lasts. In the name of Jesus, I reap every 100-fold return on every seed I've sown. You know, we just start remembering to confess things, and it's going to feel contrary to the natural. It's going to feel weird, but really the weird thing is to keep doing what we've been doing. Amen? We confess and believe God for our church property and campus in the name of Jesus, right? And for people coming in, getting saved, delivered, and healed, and built up in their faith. We confess in the name of Jesus, this nation, nothing but the kingdom of God, nothing but the will of God. Creflo Dollar was teaching on the Lord's Prayer this past week, and he was teaching on it like I've been using it for a number of years, as not just a straight confession. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts." That's great. But what it is you use it as an outline. "My Father who is in heaven." And you just praise God that he's daddy, his love, his mercy toward me, and I praise God. I could go all day long just thinking about God as my Father. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." What are you doing? You're fighting the fight of faith by saying such words. "On earth as it is in heaven, righteousness and joy and peace of the Holy Ghost come and be done on earth as it is in heaven." First of all, in our leaders in this nation, from the White House to our state capitol to mayors and governors and legislators and teachers and parents and leaders in science, leaders in business, leaders in education, leaders in justice. Amen? "And your kingdom come, your will be done, and me and my family," and you just go through the list. Right? Hallelujah. And you use it as an outline to press into God. Amen? What are we doing? We're calling things in. We're professing things according to God's word. Amen? And do we get frustrated if it doesn't happen in the next 3 minutes? We don't see the manifestation. That's westernized Christianity, right? If it doesn't happen by 12:37, then it wasn't God's will. Somebody say, God is not confined to a mechanical mechanism with hands that move around. Amen? Praise God. So you just keep believing. Somebody say, keep believing. It's one of the things I remember about the Rocky movies, is his opponent would just get wore out because Rocky just kept getting up again. And they thought they had him down, but he's up again. And he ends up winning, right? Somebody say, I'm staying up. Staying up on my faith. Praise God. So professed and profession, that word confessed is professed and profession, means words like to assent. Somebody say, I'm going up. Covenant. It means covenant. See, this thing is not just, we're not just making this stuff up, right? The covenant has to do with bloodshed. And Jesus' blood was shed for me. Has to be a personal thing, right? For my salvation, yes, but also for my healing, for my prosperity, for my breakthrough. Amen? It's a blood covenant we're talking about. So we need to make sure that our confession lines up with what the blood of Jesus says. We were kind of replaying something on the radio the past few weeks called Blood That Speaks. And we just got to ask ourselves, does the blood of Jesus say what I just said? Right? Oh, my knee is killing me. Is that what the blood says? No. The blood says, by his stripes I am healed. Amen? Praise the Lord forevermore. Just one example there. It means to acknowledge. We want to be acknowledging Jesus in every way we possibly can, church. Amen? Somebody say, acknowledge him. Think of these war movies or police movies, shows, and they get a call from, you know, headquarters, and the guy says, acknowledged. So we see something in the Word, the Holy Ghost says something, my response should be, acknowledged. I believe that, right? It means confession is made. It means to give thanks and to praise. Somebody to say, thank you, Jesus. You know, that's one of the greatest weapons against the devil is your praises. No matter how things look or feel or sound, just praise. Somebody say, just praise God. Just thank him for the victory that is yours. Amen. Just lift your hand. Just turn the music up and turn your voice up in the middle of whatever you're doing. And just say, Father, I thank you that you have already won. Amen. Praise the Lord. So our thanks and our praise. That's a big thing I've learned too, is in the midst of I haven't seen the manifestation yet of what I'm believing for, find something to be thankful for. And thank him, and thank him, and thank him, and thank him. Father, I thank you that my left knee, I've never really had any problems with it. My right knee, that healing is manifesting. Amen. And the left knee, praise you, Father. My elbows have never hurt. My neck is fine. Hallelujah. Pretty soon, you'll just be praising God. And you'll forget about that thing that's been bothering you. Amen. And what it does is it gives the angels charge over things. We must remember the angels, right? We must remember that there are heavenly hosts out there working on assignment for you, ministering on behalf of the heirs of salvation. That's their job. And what they work with is your words. Amen? So when they hear me say something negative, they wonder, why did he say that? Is that what he wants? Somebody say what you want. Say what you're believing God for. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wanted to look at, for the next couple minutes here, the word acknowledge. When it says profess, profession, confessed, amen. And get back to that verse again. It says, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession. Somebody say, I confess the good confession, right? And that is God. But one of the words for confession and profession is the word acknowledge. We were talking about that. But the dictionary had some cool things to say about that word acknowledge. It's in your notes there. And one of the things it says is, acknowledging is to admit, to be real or true. So when I say God's word, I'm saying, Lord, I admit that your word is real and it's true. Somebody say hallelujah. To recognize, to perceive as existing or true, the existence. So to recognize the existence, it's acknowledging. So when I recognize God's words before my circumstances, before what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, I'm saying, Lord, I acknowledge that my healing exists. My healer exists. My breakthrough exists. Sometimes we just need to get ourselves to that point That sometimes that domino tips all the rest of them. Just getting to the point of just saying, Lord, I acknowledge that this is real. Your word is true. And just like it worked for, that's why we share testimonies and things, because it encourages us, hey, if it worked for them, it'll work for me too. Amen? Acknowledge means truth or fact of. To recognize, to perceive as existing or true, the existence, truth, or fact of. Praise God. The fact might be that I don't feel good right now. I got some health issues going on. But the truth of God's word, the eternal truth of God's word, can change the temporary facts of what I'm dealing with. So we're not denying the fact that there is a problem. Oh, there is no problem. There is no problem. There is no devil. There is no devil. There is no cancer. There is no COVID. Oh, yeah, there is. But the truth is, by his stripes, I am healed. So I'm not denying the fact that that thing exists. I'm just denying its right to have its way in my life. Amen? What are you doing? You're fighting the fight of faith. Glory to God. And these are some cool 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things to look at in terms of acknowledge too. Acknowledge means to show or express recognition or realization. To show or express recognition or realization. And we can say it this way. That's why we come to church, family. I come to church to show and express that I recognize and realize that God's word is true. That's why we study our Bible every day. That's why we praise God. That's why we guard our words. What are we doing? We are showing or expressing that we recognize and realize God's word is the truth. And that's what we're going to have in our life. Amen? It means to recognize the authority, validity, or claims of. Amen? It's important in order to receive anything from God's word that I recognize the authority of God's word over that problem. The validity of that word, the claims of God's word in that area of my life. Amen? So the word recognition is big. I have to be able to recognize what is the curse and what is the blessing, right? And recognize that me as a born-again citizen of the kingdom of heaven, I belong to planet blessing. So no matter what is going on around me, I'm not having it. No, sir, no, ma'am. Somebody say, I'll take the blessing. I'll take the plan of God for my life. It means, acknowledge again means to show or express appreciation or gratitude for. Now, let me ask you this. When should I show or express appreciation or gratitude for my miracle? Should I wait till the miracle arrives? Somebody say, there's no faith in that. No. Once you request it, you know it's on the way. So you just turn it to praise. Father, I praise you right now that my miracle is mine. I take it, I have it, I receive it, and I thank you for it now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, it's like when you order something online right now and they send you that recognition number or your whatever the number is that they give you so you can track it. And right, here's your confirmation. Well, all you need is the scripture in here that gives you your confirmation number is right here. There it is. It's mine. Somebody say, it's mine. Whatever you're believing God for. Amen. And we should express appreciation and gratitude to God now. Somebody say, now. That's fighting the fight of faith. To indicate or make known the receipt of. Hallelujah. So when you receive it, when the manifestation of it happens, tell somebody. Now it turns to a testimony. Oh, I better not say anything because I might lose it. I might lose it. I might lose it. No, no, no. Testify. If you see feel the slightest change in your body, testify about it. Find another believer and testify about it. Amen? What are you doing? You're indicating and making known, not just to yourself and to others, but you're telling the devil, right? That's why we're indicating to him, right? We're helping him recognize, hey, Mr. Devil, I'm on the blessing side, off limits to you, right? Hallelujah. And then finally it says to take notice or reply to. It's important that we notice what God's word says, but it's also important that we notice when the thing arrives. And it sounds silly, but a lot of people, when their blessing arrives, their miracle arrives, they forgot about it. Well, I guess that was lucky. Well, I guess it really wasn't that bad of a report. I guess I just didn't really have that. Or maybe you were healed of it because God did something awesome in your life. Amen? Oh, maybe my boss just decided to give me that raise because I've been doing... No. You need to say thank you, Jesus, and recognize and notice. Notice that is the hand of God in my life. And reply to him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen? And when it says the final word, then, when it says... We've confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We'll kind of close it with this today. Witnesses means a witness judicially. But the word martyr jumped out at me, and it means record, right? But just remembering in Hebrews 11, I'm going to read to you Hebrews 11, 30 through 40 right now. But it's important to remember what many, many, many other believers through the years. There's people that have actually, you know, shed blood for their faith in Jesus. And much like, you know, that's why we don't back down on God's promises for our nation, because there's been many, many, many soldiers that have laid their life down for our country over the years. And so we refuse to back down what we're believing God for our nation. But in faith... Look at Hebrews 11 is really one of the great faith chapters in the Bible. How many know the Bible? The whole book is about faith, right? But this is kind of the hall of faith, we might call it. Verses 30 through 40. And it says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. Let me just repeat that first part. The harlot. Faith works wherever someone would believe, wherever they're at in their life. Amen? By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Amen? And what more shall I say, verse 32? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Luke and I were watching this broadcast the other day. Pastor Terry Pearson was interviewing an Israeli man, and he was talking about some of the artifacts that they're digging up in Israel. And he said there's two kinds of people digging in Israel. He says there's those who believe the Bible and those who do not believe the Bible. He said there are people digging there just for the history. They don't believe the Bible at all. And others are using it as confirmation to the Bible. And he said, he showed this one because they would take a ring, a signet ring, and they've been finding these amazing things. And one of the things... One of the things that they were saying was the folks that are on the non-believing side don't believe that, they believe the Bible is fictitious, you know. But their scriptures talk about the rocks crying out. That's archaeology in a lot of ways, right? And they've just discovered things right now that confirm that, number one, that one of the things they were saying is David didn't even exist. These people, he's just fictitious, just make-believe. Well, no, they found some things recently from his direct descendants that talk about him, right? But one of the cool things that we saw was they found Hezekiah, King Hezekiah's signet ring, like he had left this mark in one of the documents that they had had, but they found another one that was broken in half. And it said, Isaiah the Prof, and it was cut in half. And he's like, we assume that is Isaiah the prophet. Hallelujah, right? Somebody say, God's word is true. Amen. And we ought not, there's a scripture that says, we ought not wait for the rocks to cry out before we do. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it says this, verse 32, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to talk of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, how do they do it, church? Through faith, subdued kingdoms. Kingdoms. Man, we could turn this city upside down for Jesus. Amen? Coming together is so important. I believe when we come together, it does something in the spiritual atmosphere of our region, amen, that enables people to see and hear and breaks the power of darkness over their lives, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Praise God. Somebody say victory. But now listen where it goes here. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Great victories. Amen. The Bible talks about we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And Rick Renner was teaching on this a couple weeks ago. He talked about it. It literally indicates like the nosebleed levels of a stadium, and they're all looking down on God's people, right? But listen to verse 35 as it goes here. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two for their faith, right? Were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, right? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens, caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained the good testimony through the faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us. Somebody say, something better for us. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. These martyrs are in this cloud of witnesses, right? And they're saying, listen, we died. We laid down our lives for you. Do not quit believing God for what you're believing God for. Amen? That's a powerful thing to think about. They're not saying, you might be a martyr too. It encourages me, right, in the face of the pressure of the world, right, to honor the rainbow. If you don't honor the rainbow, you're a hater. Amen? That's not true. We honor God first. Yeah, but there might be some pressure. One minister I was listening to, Bishop Keith Butler in Detroit, African-American brother, beautiful church there, and he was talking to his people about Black Lives Matter. He was like, hey, guys, listen, yeah. I'm paraphrasing him. Yes. There is a problem with racism. Yes, we could use some police reform in many cases. But let me read to you a couple of paragraphs right off their website. And it goes into all this stuff about the rainbow and sexual equality and all these perversions that they're pushing. How offensive must it be to an African-American brother or sister that's, you know, legitimately had issues of racism through the years, and have these people that are pushing these perverted, ugly, twisted agendas comparing themselves to them. No, it's not even the same thing. And using them to promote their evil, ugly agendas. Nasty, cruel, as bad in many cases as what they've been through over the years. Bizarre. right? So as the church, we shouldn't cower back because somebody might say, oh, you hater. Ah, you Christians. Bring it on, devil. It's not them. Somebody, it's not them. It's the devil. Right? No, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep meeting. We're going to keep believing God's word. We're going to keep teaching God's word. We're not going to rip pages out of God's word because it offends someone. I read a couple of verses just in the past few weeks that say specifically, a woman ought not dress like a man, and a man ought not dress like a woman. Somebody say, that's in the Bible. God knew eons ago that 2021 was coming. And by the way, it's the same devil that's running around that was running around at the beginning of time with the same lies, the same trickiness, right? The same evil. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. Amen? So what do? Somebody say, we hold to God's words. We do not waver. We do not turn to the right or to the left. And finally, we'll close with Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. How, church, will we win this fight of faith? Well, firstly, we need to remember it's already been won. Somebody say it's already been won. But in the next few weeks to come, we're going to look at some would-be challengers that have come to try to take the belt back. Some would-be challengers that have come to try to take back what the champion has already won on our behalf, right? But here's the key to victory right here, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, hallelujah, praise God, let us lay aside every weight, lay aside the offense, lay aside the fear, lay aside the resentment, lay aside sins, right? Lay aside the unbelief. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here's the key right here. Looking unto Jesus. Somebody say, look unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Somebody just laugh a little bit. Ha, 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 ha. Battle is won, devil. All I got to do is show up. All I got to do is train. All I got to do is hear the word of God, do the word of God, believe the word of God. Battle is won. Ha, ha, ha. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, Jesus wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at you. He was looking at his family that was coming. Amen? Despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Somebody say, glory to God. He is the ultimate champion. We'll close with this, but we're watching a good old show back from the early 80s, Father Murphy. If you've ever seen it, it's kind of like toward the end of Little House on the Prairie days, and Michael Landon started some new show called Father Murphy, starring Merlin Olsen. Right? And this one episode yesterday, they had this guy that was dying of tuberculosis, and he's talking to this little girl about he's going to die, and I want you to bury me under that tree, because I lived on this mountain for years. But he's telling Father Murphy, he's like, would you be the one to bury me, please? Right? I ain't much a religious man, he says, but if you could put a cross on my grave, because I just want God to be able to recognize his sign. Amen. But it just made me think, yeah, praise God, but how many know, don't wait till then to make Jesus Lord of your life. Somebody say, I need to look to Jesus now, not after I die, hoping God recognizes me. That's not the way to do it, man. Amen. Somebody say, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus now. Praise the Lord. Because it will affect forever if we do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. And perhaps maybe there's someone listening to this message later and you You want to look to Jesus now. You don't want to wait until after you die to find out if this is true or not. You're like, you know what? I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, forgiving me of all my sins, cleansing me. Just pray this out loud. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus and his sacrifice for me on the cross. I thank you for the blood that was shed for me. I choose to live for you from now on. I repent of my sins, and I give my life to you now, Lord. And I choose to live for you all the days of my life. I look to Jesus now. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that 3 days later you raised again. And thank you that you sent me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just receive the Holy Spirit right now. Just say, I receive the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in other tongues. Glory, 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 glory to God. Just pray in other tongues, church. Kole vi ba shalala va mende. Shole vi ba kala va mende. Shita nando. Ke la la va manano nene. Ke la la va manane. And church, pray this after me. Just say, I decide right now to be a person of faith. I will fight the fight of faith. I will believe God. I will acknowledge His word before anything else in my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Now just give Him praise. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.